Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We're less than a week away from Halloween, which means it might be time to queue up those Halloween movies.
I am Newt, toe of frog, will of bat, tongue of dog.
Adder's fork and blind worm sting.
Barbados lime is just the thing.
Fragger's soft like a sailor's stubble.
Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble.
That's a scene from the 1998 film Practical Magic, starring Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock. It's based on the novel by longtime Cambridge resident Alice Hoffman. The book follows the Owens family, a clan of witches befallen by a curse that kills the one they love. Now, Hoffman's out with a prequel, and it's called The Rules of Magic. Alice Hoffman joins us in the studio to talk about this. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.
So, Practical Magic came out 2 decades ago or so. When did you start thinking that you might need a prequel?
I always thought about it, and readers sent me letters and emails, but I think I just felt like the time was right. And I did not want to go forward in time. I wanted to go back.
And why now? Any reason? Just the time right now to do the prequel, do you think?
You know, sometimes I feel like the writer's the last to know. And when I finished the book, I realized that there was this sense, it takes place during the 60s, which was when I grew up. And I think it's a really important time to look back to right now.
But why is that?
Well, I think all of the cultural changes that happened, all of the power of young people who made those changes, I think it's really important to look back at that now and remember what we can do.
And there's a lot of a family story there as well. They bring in a lot of events happening at that time. Being drafted for military service, of course, is a big theme, and the Vietnam War and what was going on with that. But also family. What is it about families that you think, keeps creeping into your novels? What do you want to say about that?
Well, I think families are so interesting. They're such an interesting group of people just kind of thrown together. You know, you think you're going to know your family, but you don't really know who they are. And I always think it's so interesting that you cannot know your older relatives because you didn't know them when they were young.
And so they have these hidden stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Secrets.
That get passed down.
That's
many
true.
Many times,
that
right?
That is true. The ghosts in the nursery that, you know, they keep, these things keep affecting generation after generation after generation. And that's what really the curse is about. It's this sense that the family has passed this feeling about love down through the generations.
And how do you think families break that? Do they?
Well, therapy. I think time helps. I think facing it. You know, I think the real truth of this book is, you know, people are reminded that they have to be true to themselves and they have to be themselves. And I think that's the most important thing.
So the three children really who are the main characters in the book, Franny, Jet, and Vincent. Which one are you most like?
Oh, I'm not like any of them.
None of them.
Oh, no. You know, I started out as an escapist reader, and I am a completely escapist writer. So I'm not writing about people like myself. I may be writing about people I wish I was like, but they're not me.
What does it mean to be an escapist writer? How is it in your process then?
Well, I'll just give you an example. I was moving, and I was sitting in this living room filled with boxes and moving men, and the first thing I did was take out my computer and go inside a book. You know, so that's an escapist writer.
I know I read at one point that when you were writing Practical Magic, you wrote it in a garden shed on Cape Cod.
Yeah.
Where did you go for this book?
For this book, I was on my couch, I have to say. Nowadays, it really doesn't matter where I write. I feel like I can write anywhere. But then I think I felt like I needed to kind of escape physically. Now I really can write anywhere.
What's the difference, do you think? What changed?
I think I've been doing it for such a long time. It's such a part of my life. I don't understand what people who don't do it think about on their off hours. I mean, I can be standing online for a cup of coffee, and I'm in my book.
Yeah. And so is it difficult? I mean, is it difficult for you sometimes to kind of, I guess, structure and have boundaries, right? And I think that's got to, that's probably why a lot of people don't do it. Right?
Probably. I mean, I have much more trouble with real life than book life. So for me, it's a pleasure to be inside a book.
Yeah. Yeah. You started this book with Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Was this sort of fairy tale like quality? Was that what you were trying for?
It's what I was trying for. I mean, I fell in love with literature through fairy tales. I mean, that was my original reading, was fairy tales and myth and folk tales and stories my grandmother told me. And for me, that is the beginning of literature, is magic and words together. Mm.
You know, I wonder if you might read an excerpt.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'd love to.
There's a part here in the book where Franny, Jet, and Vincent are discovering who they are, as you say, which is a big theme here. They're the three children in the book, and they go to this house in Massachusetts to an old aunt who has invited Franny to come on her 17th birthday, and their aunt tells them the story of a cousin named Maggie. Right?
Yes,
and Maggie betrayed the family and told the locals this family of mysterious folks who may or may not be witches should be incarcerated. And Maggie was thrown out of the house, right?
Right. So Maggie was very disloyal.
Yeah. So Aunt Isabel tells the story of Maggie, and that's what you're going to read for us right now, right? Okay. Go ahead.
Maggie Owens was so enraged when she was cast out onto the sidewalk with her suitcase that she took up cursing. And with every curse, she grew smaller and smaller. Some spells work against you, or perhaps the Owens cousins inside the house threw up a black reversing mirror. Each wicked word that Maggie spoke was turned back upon her. She couldn't even unlatch the lock on the door. Whatever magic ran through her blood had evaporated. She denied who she was, and when that happens, it's easy enough to become something else entirely. Most likely, the first creature that you see, which in her case was a rabbit darting through the garden. Maggie went to sleep in the grass a woman and awoke as a rabbit. Now she ate weeds and drank milk that was left to her in a saucer. Keep your eyes open, Isabel told the siblings. You may see her in the yard. This is what happens when you repudiate who you are. And once you do that, life works against you, and your fate is no longer your own.
Right. Alice Hoffman reading from her new novel, The Rules of Magic. You know, there is several mentions in the book about fate.
Yeah.
And trying to escape fate. What are you trying to say about fate in this book, do you think?
Well, fate is a funny thing, and I'm always trying to figure out if we're fated to have the lives that we have. If we can change them, if one small action changes everything else. But I think this book is really about, even if you're fated, you can still fight it. You can still fight for the life that you want to have.
Hmm. Also in this book, the children go to Salem, Massachusetts,
yes,
to Aunt Isabel, right? And there's a lot of history there about what happened in Massachusetts through several generations. How much of that's based on fact?
A lot of it's based on fact. You know, it's funny, in both books, people are always trying to escape from Massachusetts, and they can't. They have to come home.
Maybe there's your personal part of the book.
Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, yes, a lot of it is about what happened in Salem, although Salem's never mentioned by name. And the Hawthorne family is very tied up with the plot of this book. And Nathaniel Hawthorne's relative was one of the judges at the witchcraft trials.
Right.
And the one judge who never apologized or never admitted that he was wrong. So it's an interesting combination of families.
Right. And why witchcraft and witches in both of your books?
Yeah. Well, I think the witch is really an iconic female figure. And I think all little girls, if given the opportunity on Halloween, dress up as a witch. And there's a reason for that. And I think, you know, witches are very powerful, and they are, I can't really think of another kind of mythic figure that's female, that's as powerful, that has strength, and is kind of alone in some way, but still has strength.
Mm. There's also, in the book, speaking of research, there's a lot of mention of, you know, you talk about the reversing mirror, right, in the passage that you just read from the book. But then there's a lot about spells and different herbs and lavender and all kinds of things that can be used for ailments or for spell casting or for whatever you like. I mean, was there research that also went into that, not just historic research? But
I have a huge magic library. And what's interesting is that magic and folk medicine are so interwoven. They're really pretty much one and the same.
Hmm. What surprised you most when you were researching that and that you included? I know you've included some put some things in the book a few times. Why was that? What fascinated you about certain things?
Well, I love the way it belonged to women, really, this folk magic, that it was like being a midwife or being an herbalist, or, you know, that this really was a female domain. And I think that really just really appealed to me, that sense of solidarity amongst women.
Hmm. When you said sometimes the writer is the last to know, I mean, do you find that when you start writing something, it kind of takes on a life of its own and it just comes? I mean, I described the whole idea and the process of putting a novel out like this.
Yeah, well, I think that with every novel, there's an outer story and an inner story. And the outer story is all the outlines that you make up and all the research and all the plans that you have. But then there's an inner story that you don't really know. And in writing the book, you find out the answer to the question that you originally had. You find out the inner story. And sometimes I do think that the writer's the last to know. I was not sure really what the book was about, the heart of the book. I mean, I knew what it was about, that it was about these siblings that, you know, went to Massachusetts and discovered who they were and had difficulty accepting who they were, as many of us do. But really, it was about hope and the hope that you could change your fate and that you could find love.
And so what's next for you?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I'm
is there a book coming to you? Even you may be the last to know again.
Well, actually, I'm having a book come out next year with my cousin Lisa Hoffman called Fairy Knitting. She's a master knitter. And so I wrote the fairy tales and she made the patterns that went with the fairy tales. So that's the next book.
Yeah. But is there another one that's coming to you that you're writing at the moment?
Yeah, there is. But, you know, I always feel like I can't talk about it because you never know if a book's going to come alive until it's really done.
Hmm. And tell me, I'm just so fascinated by that process. When do you finally realize, like, it's going to make it and this is going to be the inner story that might not have been clear to me at the outset? Is there are you halfway through, or do you have to wait to the end, or what? How does it happen?
I don't know. I think it's different every time. And I think there comes a time where it just feels like, okay, this is it. It's alive. And sometimes it's not, and you just have to move on to another book. How it actually happens after the notes and the researching and the different drafts, the real core of it, how it really happens, I have no idea. For me, that's magic.
Right. All right. Well, that's great. Well, keep us posted so we'll know what you're doing next. Alice Hoffman's new book is titled The Rules of Magic. It's a prequel to her best-selling novel, Practical Magic. She'll be speaking tonight at Temple Sinai in Marblehead, or you can see her on Halloween at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge. You can find more information about those events at our website, radioboston.org. Alice Hoffman, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.